Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, February 23rd, 2015. Al, would you be able to take the program for just a few minutes, please, and then I'll come back with the market report?
If I have to.
Yes, please do. I'll be right back, folks.
All right. Melody is off. I'm not sure what she's doing, but she's taking a vacation. And I'm Alfred Addis, and what is today? 23rd day of February, year of our Lord, 2015. Melody says she'll be back with a market report, so I'm supposed to talk apparently about something other than the market report. Hey, how about them Cowboys, huh? We're not going to talk about the Cowboys. Here's something that's a little bit interesting, perhaps. China offtakes 59.12 tons of gold for the week ending February 13th. This is from 24hgold.com. Just a brief comment. China withdrew 59.12 tons of gold bullion from the Shanghai Gold Exchange for the week ending 13 February. That's almost 60 tons. 1 week. 10 tons, not quite 10 tons a day. It's more than 10 tons a day. I assume the Shanghai Gold Exchange is open 5 days a week. If it is, it's more. It's like 12 tons a day they're taking off that exchange. It's evidence that China certainly hasn't lost its appetite for gold. We can wonder, you know, given gold's performance, we can sit back and wonder, well, is a good investment, bad investment? China sits there and says, it's good. All right, Melody is back.
Yes. All right, Thank you, Al. Mm-hmm. And how are you today?
Can't complain. We have a winter wonderland down here in Texas.
You do?
Yeah. Must be, you know, quarter of an inch, maybe even a half. It drifts half inch high.
Ooh.
Of snow.
Well, I'll tell you.
In Dallas. And,
well, we had some nasty cold weather in the Northeast did this, so you got a fraction of it. But everybody was hitting those negative numbers again, and pipes were again bursting everywhere along the East Coast. But did you build a snowman?
No. Right now, if you went out there and you wanted to roll, make a snowball for a snowman, by the time you got done, you might be able to accumulate a snowball the size of a golf ball or maybe a softball if you really worked at it. It'd be the snowman would be a little too small to be of much interest.
Well, today's gold prices leave little to be interested in. You have gold down $1.20 right now. Did have a high of 1211, and you're looking at 1203.70, down 1.20. Silver is up 5 cents today at 1642. Platinum is at $1,166, and palladium is up 7. And there's no change in platinum. Palladium was up 7 at $789. The USDX today is trading stronger, of course. 94.55, 0.24 to the upside. Crude oil is trading down, of course, 1.54 at 49.27. And the paper markets today were down slightly. We have the Dow down 23 points at 18,116. The NASDAQ was up. Only 40 points away from that magic 5,000 number, 4960, up 5. And you have the S&P basically unchanged at 2109. The 10-year yield, 2.06. That is down 0.07. The euro is also down a little bit, 1.13. So, you know, Apple continues to soar. That was up all 2.5% today. Banks were down. Citigroup was down over 1% along with Google. But foreign markets, you have the Asian markets were up slightly, as with Germany was up not a full point, up 80 points. London, the FTSE, overnight was basically unchanged. So
peace in the valley, Melody.
Peace in the valley. Everything.
Nothing has changed or changing, and that gives us all a sense of security, knowing
everything is good. Good. Actually, this is America Saves Week, Al.
America Saves what?
America Saves Week. For savings in the past year, there have been an increasing number of Americans that have reported some improvement, or nearly a dozen savings indicators. And this is according to the 8th annual America Saves Week survey. This has been going on for 8 years, and to encourage Americans to save. They treat these people, Americans, like we're children. But yep. Only two-fifths of, and of course they act like it too, but only two-fifths of respondents indicated good or excellent progress meeting their saving needs. But you have nearly 1,700 organizations that have signed up to participate in America Saves Week. You also have Military Saves Week, and you have 575 in that have signed up for the Military Saves Week. You have Social Security Administration. You have the St. Louis Saves, Department of Defense. All these organizations are involved in this American Saves Week. The Department of Agriculture, National Institute of Food and Agriculture. So, but it doesn't seem to be working now, because Bankrate released a new report today. 24% of Americans have more credit card debt than emergency savings, and 13% are not much better off. And of course, it's pretty much the same thing year after year. Things are not improving, but the 13% that are not much better off, they don't have credit card debt, but they don't have emergency savings either. And if you put it another way, more than a third of Americans are living at risk of a financial crisis. The chief financial...
More than a third?
Mm-hmm.
That's all?
That's all.
That's nonsense. We've talked about this in the past.
Well, they broke this down to where it does. I mean, they're making this story look good, Al.
Well, they may make it look good, Melody, but it doesn't mean it is good.
They say that the Americans are woefully undersaved for emergencies. Gen X is the group shortest on emergency savings. The millennials are a little bit better, but they're all living at home yet. That's why they're a little bit better off. And retirees were, of course, the most prepared, with just 14% saying their credit card debt was bigger than their emergency savings. But again, they don't tell you how they come up with these numbers. Then they go in to show 58% of Americans have more emergency savings than credit. But what they break it down, here's how they break it down. They're talking about 36% have less than $1,000.
We did a couple of programs where we talked about this back, a month or two ago.
Oh, it's been longer.
40%, maybe more than that. I don't remember if it was 40 or 60%, but at least 40% of the American people, if they had an emergency that cost more than $400, they have to either borrow the money or they have to sell something, meaning they don't have $400 cash to their name, and we're talking about at least 40% of the country.
Right.
Now, it's the same. If those numbers were accurate, then when they come back and they say, well, 26% of the people have more credit card debt than they have.
It's just broken down out in a little different manner. And we're talking about retirement and benefits that are saving. So it's probably broken out differently. So this report by Bankrate, the survey is probably done by a different group of people. However, I'm talking about retirements. They're also talking about 60% of workers have less than $25,000 in savings and investments. You break that down, and yeah, you're looking at not much more than $400. 36% have less than $1,000, and that's up from 28%. So the point is, it looks like maybe they're saving. I don't believe they're saving. I don't know how. The only savings that they could really account for would be the low gasoline prices. If they're actually saving anything from that, it might be a source of savings.
But it doesn't mean they're saving anything. It just means they're buying bigger pizzas.
Yeah.
You know, yay, I don't have to spend my money on gasoline. I could get it even bigger. I could get the giant pizza instead of the usual large.
Well, savings is really going up, I think people might be having a little bit better understanding that they feel that something is wrong, that there's going to be consequences coming into the future. And certainly these are not huge savings, and certainly there's a huge group of people that do not have the funds for any type of emergency, but they do realize that there's something wrong.
Well, one other point is that the government doesn't really want you to have any savings.
No, they don't.
They want you to get out there and spend that money. Spend it in order to stimulate the economy. And when you save it, the savings, in theory, the money's withdrawn from the economy. It diminishes the money supply that's in circulation. People don't spend as much. There are less jobs, less profits, less income for everyone. They don't want you to save. So when we have this savings week, it's not a surprise to me that I haven't heard of the savings week before, because I don't think the government really wants that push. They'll give it a little lip service, but in the final analysis, they would much rather that you spend, and better get.
They don't want you to save.
Go into
You're
debt.
Right.
Go into debt. Get your MasterCard. Get your Visa. Get out there and buy something, and we'll worry about paying for it later. Just buy it now. That's essentially what government wants. And
absolutely.
Savings is contrary to that.
The National Association of Realtors today said that the sales of existing homes tumbled 4.9% last month. That brings sales down to their lowest level since April 2014. And even though they're low mortgage rates, and supposedly if you believe the government numbers about job growth, it has yet to spur any type of activity from buyers and sellers. Few properties are being listed for sale. You have would-be buyers are holding off on purchases. And the article talks also about snowstorms, but really the snowstorms really didn't hit until the end of January, the 1st of February. So
doesn't matter. It's still enough.
It's in the quarter.
As we know from last year, if it snows in the wintertime, that's grounds for the economy to be slow in the spring and the summer. Maybe even the next year. It could be we're having adverse impact from last year's.
Fewer properties are coming onto the market. Just 4.7 months of supply were listed for sale at the end of December. and that is compared with an average of 5.2 months during 2014. And builders, they haven't ramped up construction. We had housing starts. They slid 2% in January, and that is also the report from the Commerce Department coming out last week. The limited supply of homes, they say, could lift prices to higher levels, which could, you know, lead would-be buyers to wait until they have more choices. It makes you wonder, those, the reasons that homes are not coming onto the market is these, I think so many people are probably upside down in their mortgages.
I think maybe that's true, and I think also they're seeing perhaps with the price of their homes, they want $250,000 for the home, and the most it'll get on the market right now is 2.25, and they're waiting for it to come back up to 250. And in fact, what may happen is it's going to fall another 25 to 200, or maybe even another 175. I remember a girlfriend I knew back 20 years ago or more, I can't recall. She had a real nice house, beautiful house, worth over $1 million now. It was only worth a couple hundred thousand back then. It was a bad real estate market. She wanted a certain price, and the house was priced less than that. And by the time she waited for a number of months, she said, oh, okay, I'll sell it for that. And by the time she agreed to sell it for that lower price, it had dropped again. And then she waited several months. She chased it down, and in the end, I don't remember, she lost, who knows, $75,000 on the house, maybe more, I don't recall clearly. But she chased it downward because she was reluctant to take that loss. A lot of these people might be doing the same thing. They're waiting for the prices to come back up.
Well, you know, they hear about all these good economic reports coming out of Washington. So they think the economy is great, and they're thinking, oh, wow, you know, the economy is turning around. And you're right, they're expecting a higher price, but they're basing their decisions on the information that's coming out of Wall Street and Washington. So they're being fed a bunch of lies that they're making their decisions on.
Well, it kind of depends on where you are. I'm sure there are strong real estate markets in some parts of the country, and Dallas, for example, may be one of them. All right, but there are other portions of the country where the real estate market is so weak that what we're talking about is true in the weak real estate markets might not be true.
Yeah, but on the average,
Average is average. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. I was just talking to a woman I know. She goes to a church that I used to attend, and she swapped a couple of email with her. She and her husband just sold their house here in Dallas County, and much to their surprise, it was only listed for a couple of weeks, and it resulted in a bidding war where they wound up selling the house for more than they'd asked for. Right now, I'm going to make you a bet nobody's heard that story in a long time, but she and her husband, they put it up for a particular price that they thought was reasonable and fair, and two people started bidding against each other for the house, and before you know it, they got a higher price for their house than they'd asked for. So there's an interesting story. You know, like I say, some markets are someplace, some homes are someplace, other homes and markets are, you know, not doing as well. But average,
I also think,
average is average, and average is not that good.
I also think it depends on your realtor, too, because lots of times the realtor give these people who put their homes up for sale prices that, you know, are out of touch with reality. And, you know, if you have a home and you price it right, it will sell. But these realtors come in making promises to these people because they want the listing and so forth, and then the house sits on the market forever. Houses have to be priced right. If they're priced right, it's just like anything else; it'll sell.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. But I mean, but still, you know, I can sell more Cadillacs at $10,000 a piece than I can at $50,000 a piece, but how long can I sell Cadillacs at $10,000 a piece before I go broke? You know, it's one of those things. What do you do? Not easy. You can always reduce the price to where there's a buyer who will take whatever it is you have for sale. But there are some things that you can reduce prices so much that they become irrational and even self-destructive. Then what do you do? Hang on is what most people will do and wait for something to turn around where they can make a decent profit or at least break even or whatever on whatever it is they're trying to sell. They'll hang on, but, you know, you hang on and you hang on and you hang on. And
Well, those who hang on really don't have to sell. But we do have to go to break, Al.
Oh, maybe we do and maybe we don't. I'm going to talk to Frank about that, if we really have to take a break now or not. I guess we will. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And we're going to take a break right now, whether we need one or not. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, since it's America Saves Week, we have America Saves Gold and Silver Special. This special is going to go on all week long, and we have both gold and silver. So, folks, get your pencil and papers and write this down. 1/10 ounce gold eagle, you get one of those. An AU $5 Indian, you get one of those. 21 ounce silver eagles, 20 Morgan silver dollars, and $20 face value of 90%. I think that's a mixture of quarters and 50 cent pieces. All of that includes all your shipping costs and insurance for $1,700. That's 1/10 of an ounce gold American Eagle, 1 almost uncirculated $5 Indian gold piece, almost a quarter ounce of gold, 20 2015 silver eagles, 1 ounce, 20 of those. Morgan silver dollars, a mixture of pre-21 and 21 Morgans. And $20 face value, mixture of quarters and 50-cent pieces for 90% silver. And I believe those are also Walking Liberties. So a great, great special price, just perfectly, $1,700 for your America Saves gold and silver. That's a true savings. If you're looking to save, that's how you want to do it. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
I published an article on my blog in the last day or two that included a graphic that had been prepared by Amex that compared, it said the headline is Paper versus Gold, 1971 to 2013. In fact, I found three of these graphics, similar graphics, although for different time periods. I think one of them was, 1971 to 2000. The one I have is 2013. There might have been another one compared to 2010. They're all consistent. They present the same idea. And the graphic is simply, in 1971, the one I'm looking at, it's comparing the value of gold to the value of paper dollars. In 1971, the price of a Cadillac was worth, if you wanted to buy a new Cadillac, you could spend 190 ounces of gold, all right, which would buy a 1971 Cadillac. Those same 190 ounces of gold in 2013 would buy four Cadillac XTS sedans. Understand? If you had put your money into gold, if you had an opportunity to save, I don't know what the price was originally. I can't read on the copy of the graphic I have right in front of me what the price was. Take a guess, $25,000 for Cadillac in 1971. You take that $25,000 and you buy a Cadillac, or you put that $25,000 in savings in anticipation of buying a Cadillac sometime in the future, or you put the $25,000 into gold. If you put it into gold, what they're saying here is 42, 43 years later, you can buy four Cadillacs for the same 190 ounces of gold that would have purchased only one Cadillac back in 1971. It tells you, it gives you an extraordinary, I don't want to say extraordinary, but it gives you an excellent representation of why it's important to put savings into gold. This has been a persistent, even after the downturn we've seen in the last several years, gold is still a much better investment than paper. And it's likely to continue to be so into the foreseeable future. And so long as that's true, if you want to save, we're talking about weekly saving or savings week and the rest of that sort of thing, it's one of the smartest things you can do is put money into gold for savings for some time in the future. Again, we're not talking about gold as the ideal speculation today. You buy it today in anticipation that you're going to sell it tomorrow or this Friday. And you think the price of gold is going to move 5, 10, 20 bucks an ounce one way or the other, and you bought long, short, whatever, you can speculate, who knows. But if you're thinking in terms of saving money today in anticipation of spending that money 20 years from now, 10 years from now, it's very difficult to find an alternative media for that savings that is superior or likely to be superior to gold. It's just virtual certainty if you want to save it. If you're not just speculating, if you're saving, really investing long term, gold, gold, gold.
And I just want to make this comment to my listeners that are buying gold and silver, and this is kind of a little off topic, but folks, you do, as much as we want to keep our privacy and we don't tell anyone where our gold is or what we have and so forth, you really should tell someone. Particularly if you're, if you don't have a family, if you're single or whatever. I mean, this hasn't happened many times over the years in my 20 years, but it has happened enough, to where someone passes on and I get phone calls from the relatives and they say, well, we've come across your invoice, but we can't find the products. And it just happened today. A client passed away on Friday. Get a call from his relatives with this invoice. Do you keep it? Do you store it? Did you ship it to us? And he's had many, many invoices, and this is only one that they found. So you do have to think of a means to, so should something happen to you, you take care of it. And so it's different for everyone. And you have to be careful who you tell. Of all my clients who had gold stolen from them, it was usually someone they knew. A family member, a son, daughter, grandchild, cousin, sister, brother, wife, husband, or a contract worker.
And you know what's wrong with that, Melody? That means the government didn't get to steal your money.
Well, no, it's not that.
That's what's offensive about this.
No, it isn't. No. Mm-hmm. No. So it's important now.
Just like real life. I don't care what you do. You put your money in a bank and the bank gets bombed. Who knows? You know, what happened after World War II or during World War II? There is no absolute guarantee.
Of course not, but we should all make arrangements if something should happen to us overnight that it, whether you have a will, whether you have, give people directions or whatever. But, if you bury your gold, leave a map. Mark it with X for the treasure. I don't care. But people should, and it's important.
Well, it is, but it's one of those things, who do you trust? And especially you get older, I don't think you become more trusting as you get older. I think all of us learn through a certain amount of sometimes bitter experience that there are people who we did trust. And they betrayed that trust. And we become a little bit paranoid about it. And we tend to say, that's it. I'm going to squirrel this away here, there, wherever. And I'm not telling anybody ever where it is. Well, I won't say it's right, but it's part of life. I have a friend, an acquaintance, not so much a friend, but an acquaintance. I haven't seen him in several years. But he used to buy and sell antiques. And he'd go to estate sales and he'd buy all the old furniture. And I don't mean antiques necessarily. They were old, but they weren't antiques in the sense that they were valuable in and of themselves. But he'd go buy those dressers and buy whatever else, and he knew where to look for secret compartments in the dressers and whatever. And he said, you'd be surprised how much gold he acquired over the years from estate sales where somebody had hidden something in their furniture. Not valuable in and of itself, but he'd buy it for a nickel and take a shot at it. And most of the times he wouldn't get anything. But once in a while, he'd open up, he'd find a little secret hidey hole built into the furniture or whatever. And it would contain several ounces of gold. He said, you'd be surprised how much is out there. So you're right.
Well, several ounces is a lot different than $100,000 plus. I mean, we're talking big money. We're just not talking a couple gold coins here. So, people do need to, have some sort of and let's move on because we spent too much time on this anyway. But anyway, here's an interesting article by the Lenovo Group. It's the largest computer manufacturer in the world, has made a stunning admission that they have been pre-installing tracking software on their PCs. Well, and that in itself isn't all that, stunning or shocking. We all know the PCs have the ability to track and so forth. But it's made by a company called Superfish, which apparently paid some very minor compensation to Lenovo for putting the software on people's computers. And this program is a total disaster. It has image recognition algorithms, which essentially monitor what a user is looking at, then suggests relevant ads based on what it thinks you might like. And this is not really high up on the problem scale, but it completely destroys the internet security. What it does is, whether you're buying something or online or accessing internet banking, the Superfish program essentially cuts the secure link between you and sensitive websites that you're trying to access. And according to the first user who found the vulnerability just a few weeks ago, all your secure web connections by using self-signed root certificate authority, makes it look legitimate to the browser. But what it does is it's tracking, this tracking software fools the browser into believing that a connection is secure when it's not. And they have the ability to, I believe, pull all your security from that. And they say that they made a mistake and blah, blah, blah.
And they're really, really sorry. And
they're
they promise never to do it again.
Never to do it
again. We would never spy on you again because BS, you know.
But again, it's just another sign, the Internet.
Well, here's one of the points. Here's what apparently is happening. I don't know this to be absolutely true, but it appears that this Superfish software essentially transmits the image that's on your screen. And they just transmit it as a painting or a photograph or a picture.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It appears, I'm only guessing at this, but it appears that our security mechanisms to protect our internet connections are based on the idea that we are transmitting text from point A to point B. And there are spy programs that will read whether you see whether your text is the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dogs. Is that what you said? They read the text, but they don't read the pictures. Superfish reads the pictures, and then someone can, in theory, sit there and read. They get a copy of the picture of the screen I'm looking at right now, and if the screen includes access to a bank account, they get a picture of what I'm saying. They don't get the text, but they do get the picture, and someone can sit there and look at the picture and says, uh-huh, here's his password, here's how much money's in the bank account, here's how we can download it and get it for ourselves. I think that's what's going on there. But, the point, as always, is that anyone who believes there's security in the Internet age, information security, you be dumb. All right? There is no security. You absolutely can't count on, if you've got anything that you absolutely don't want other people to know, you better not have it on your computer. You'd better not be moving that information over the Internet because there is no guarantee that that security will be maintained. And that's just the reality of it. Again, talked about it, I think, last week sometime. Because the Internet is easily accessible by just about anyone from any place, that easy accessibility makes it easy for hackers to add just a few more tweaks and touches, and all of a sudden, what you think of as security is, it's just not there. If you want the convenience of easy access to the Internet, then you have to expect there's going to also be the convenience of easy access to your information for hackers. So, if you're going to store some important information, if you want to keep it on a computer, keep it on a computer, but don't hook that computer up to the Internet. You might have a special computer that you just keep and one way or another tend to without tying into the Internet.
What's next, Al?
Greece is interesting. There's an article from CNBC, and the headline is, "It's treason, Greek anger at government U-turn." And what they're talking about is last Friday, the new Greek government that was elected for the express purpose of terminating the bailout procedures and the debt, just saying, that's it, we're out of here, we're not paying the debt, and perhaps even exiting from the European Union. Within a month after their election, they are backpedaling. Last Friday, and said, "Well, wait a second, we're gonna extend this process another 4 months." That was the idea. We're gonna extend the deadline, the date of execution for Greece. Instead of happening last Friday, it would now, in theory, happen 4 months from now, end of June. All right, that was the theory. So, hooray! We've got another 4 months. But in fact, what's going on, here's what the article says. European equity markets might be cheering a deal to extend Greece's aid by 4 months. But many ordinary Greeks feel their government has backtracked from its grand promises to strike out the bailout. right? They were going to just cancel debt. That's it. We quit. We're not going to try. We're not going to live in austerity. We're not paying off this debt. It's too big for us to handle. We're bankrupt. We can't. You can't squeeze any more out of us. Greece is now scrambling to present a list of reform proposals in order to secure the financial lifeline. Now, what does that mean? The significance of these reform proposals, and this is, they're doing this since last Friday. The significance is this. Last Friday's celebrated agreement to extend Greece's loans for another 4 months is not yet final. Everybody thinks that this is a done deal as of last Friday, and we're at least good until end of June before we have to deal with this problem again. But instead, what happened on Friday is they agreed that Greece must present a list of economic reforms to four different European institutions. It's not clear what those four institutions are from the article I was reading, but I assume they include the Troika of European Central Bank, International Monetary Fund, and European Commission, and one other one that I don't know yet, might be European Parliament, it may be the fourth. The point is that each of these four institutions must yet vote on whether the proposed Greek reforms are sufficient to warrant 4 more months of extend and pretend to Greece. I don't know. Where are we? Frank is playing the piano again. That means we have to take a break. This is twice in one program, Melody. I'm going to complain to the management about this. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we were talking about the Greece situation. I just want to finish that up before I take a call from Dave in Michigan. Four institutions. presumably including European Central Bank, International Monetary Fund, and European Commission, and one other one, probably the European Parliament. I'm not sure, the European Union's Parliament. But they must agree on whether or not the proposed reforms that Greece is providing today. Friday, they supposedly had an agreement. Oh, everything's solved now. No, they just postponed it essentially until this week. Now Greece has to propose certain reforms, economic reforms, and they have to announce, they have to figure out, okay, what are we going to do here? And they've got to send a letter of intent essentially to these four institutions. And if the four institutions say, okay, good enough, we'll go along with the program, then we get 4 months delay until Greece again confronts the fact that it can't pay its debts. But if those four institutions get Greece's proposals today, and in the next day or two, one or more of them say, that's not good enough, then it appears that the deal is off, and Greece may wind up in bankruptcy, in default, and perhaps leaving the European Union. Who knows? In theory, it could happen as early as the end of this week, but in odds are it's going to be, if worse, that worst-case scenario, you're talking 2 or 3 weeks before we actually saw all the things happen that could happen that a lot of people think are adverse. So point behind all of this is the Greek problem has not been postponed. Not absolutely. Hasn't been postponed until June. And even if the agreement is reached in the next day or two, where the four institutions, the European Union, essentially Greek creditors, they say, okay, we'll go along with the program, we're only giving a stay of execution until June. And then we're going to come back and we're going to consider the same problem again. And the problem is Greece can't pay its bills.
Well, I just want to say this before you're ready to go to the caller, is you had their prime minister, he's visiting Chinese warships last week. So it shows their relationship is also strengthening. And, China's out there giving money to countries where the IMF is turning down and is not going along with the program. So
there's another point here. You know who else is central? Potentially central to Greek's predicament? Russia. That's right. Greece is approaching Russia. And there are people who speculate. I believe it was Mark Faber who is speculating that Russia is now sitting in the catbird seat because the European Union and the United States do not want closer relationships between Greece and China or Russia. They don't want it. That's got to be stopped. So Russia is now in a position to say, I tell you what, you guys just let us have eastern Ukraine and we'll stay out of Greece. That deal may be on the table. On the other hand, if you're going to continue to mess with us in Ukraine, we're going into Greece. What do you want? So now, we may see the problem in Greece may wind up minimizing the problem we see in the Ukraine. We'll watch and see how this unfolds, but it's interesting, just to follow that. What was the other thing? One other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, you talked about, during the break, Melody was talking about the relatives in one particular case. Someone has just recently died. Relatives already are trying to figure out where the gold is. I think what I'm going to do before I die, I'm going to draft some phony invoices for about $1 million worth of gold. And I'm going to plant them around in my office where the relatives can find the invoices. And it'll drive them nuts, Melody. You understand? If you've got some relatives that you really want to settle accounts with, just draft a couple of phony invoices and say, he's got $1 million worth of gold squirreled around here someplace. Start digging. Let's take our caller from Dave. If Dave is still hanging on, he's been waiting patiently.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Melody. Hi, Alfred.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, listen, I haven't been able to call for a week.
Not.
Melody
Dave,
went on listening, and she didn't tell me.
has not hung on for this period of time. All right, so what else, Melody? What's next?
And hey, I'm still here.
Oh, you are? You got a mute button too, then, don't you?
No.
All right, Melody does. I wind up. Yes, we're here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
February 13th, Ms. Feinstein stated in the L.A. Times that basically all vets are mentally ill and should not have guns. Well, that's a nice thought, but how many police officers came from the military?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah, so, you know, you better watch what you say. The guys protecting her might be mentally ill.
Yeah, exactly.
So you run your mouth to try to get the guns taken. Number two, we were talking last week about empty homes in America, and I heard the banks are holding them back because if they released all the foreclosed homes, the market would fall. But I saw Obama on TV saying there's so many empty homes in America, we could fill them with people from the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you think?
Oh, great. And even we could bring in Muslims. That's what this country needs, are more Muslims, because they're the ones that make America great. They're the ones that made America great. And it's only fair that we move Muslims into this country to take over.
And get the ISIS discount. Join ISIS and they get us
a good idea. We could probably get ISIS and stop the war in Iraq and Syria by moving all of the ISIS soldiers here into the United States. Of course, the war might start up in this country, but, hey, we'd be filling those empty houses.
Right. Well, they've got us so full of fluoride right now that I think most people don't realize the predicament we're in. Number three here, Debbie Stabenow and Carl Levin, his going-away gift to us was the Fairness Act. Because of brick-and-mortar stores are competing against Internet sales, as of August 1st here in Michigan, we're going to pay 6% sales tax on all Internet sales. So I wrote a rep, Michigan rep, and I says, well, look it, that 6% you're going to get from all those sales, use that money to fix the roads. They're crying about wanting to go to 7% sales tax in Michigan. And I says, and then have a lotto on Thursday. That's one day they really don't have a lotto here. And I says, have for every $1 million or so, you give away a $50,000 car tax-free. And, I mean, if the roads are so bad, everybody needs a new car. And I says, you could collect a lot of money with a car lotto. And they'd be all Michigan-made cars. We'll see what happens with that. But, the Fairness Act. And Carl Levin was on the Defense Committee, and Michigan was in the top 10 for paying taxes towards military. And they were always on the bottom 10 for getting any military contracts back. So, Carl, you did a nice job for Michigan. Just want to say goodbye to him.
I think he's going to shut down Internet sales in Michigan. And what he's going to do, and I doubt if there are many, for example, if Amazon.com was actually located, if their corporate headquarters were in Michigan, I'm going to guess that they would be paying 7% on all of their income. I don't know if that's true, but I'm kind of guessing that might be true. And that means they'd be moving out of Michigan just as fast as they could pack their bags. And the same thing would be true for any other Internet businesses that sell but are located in Michigan. I'm going to guess, fairness.
I don't know if that's just Michigan or if that's going to be national. I don't know that. So, and then one last thought. You know, they got 70% of the wealth of the world is in the hands of women. Melanie'd like to know that one. And it's really true. And so who do you think the legislators make the laws for? It's the little old ladies. And this recent commercial I see where dad just fell off the ladder. So the daughters come running in. Oh, Dad, you got to get insurance. You can't leave Mom this in this poverty-stricken home here, you know. It's the final whatever insurance deal. And this is where the old man dies, leaves it to his wife. She leaves it preferably to her daughters. And this is how you get the 70% of the wealth of the world in the hands of women.
Yeah, it reflects the fact that women live longer than men. That's the fundamental point.
70% seems awfully high. Go ahead, Al.
And I'd say one other thing.
That it really
I don't
is
think
true.
This
and
is an average.
You know, I mean, these guys, they die in the factory 55, 60, and the wife's over at the casino dropping the half dollars in.
Well, it may happen that way, but I think we're talking mostly, I'm only guessing, but I'm guessing that this average is skewed based on, among other things, how much money goes to wealthy widows.
Oh,
you know, most women, when the husband dies, disappears, whatever, they may get 70% of the wealth, but I don't think that applies to the vast majority of women. I don't think they come out ahead on the game. But the ones that are super rich and the old man dies, there's a good chance that the wife who inherits was nothing but a trophy wife anyway. She was probably 30 years younger than he was. And she inherits, who knows, you know, $100 billion. Well, then there's the other. You get one woman like that for every 1,000 women who wind up inheriting $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 in equity, and maybe not even that. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's kind of an interesting statistic, but
I don't know.
Al, I was going to come down and visit you in Dallas, and I was going to live on a houseboat, buy a houseboat down in Denison, Texas, and that week I was supposed to go look at it. It went down to 17 degrees. And I says, well, do I really need to do that on a houseboat, 17 degrees? So we haven't gone down there yet, but so much for global warming.
Well, you get some of it. You get some cold weather down here. Yeah. And, in fact, I wish we had a little more. We were in the 70s just in the last week or 10 days, and now we've got snow on the ground today. I like winter.
Yeah,
right?
A little
I like
bit,
a certain amount.
Way,
but,
so yeah, that's Texas. For Michigan here.
All right. Yeah, I know you get your full share of you. What side of Michigan are you on?
The east side, in the area of the Great Lakes at Lake St. Clair.
Yeah, I understand. I'm going to guess that you get a lake effect down there that dumps a lot of snow on you.
Lake Michigan, really on the west side, really dumps the snow. That's why they get such good cherry production. They get so much moisture.
Hmm. Yeah, character building. All right, Dave.
Okay,
anything
take care.
Else?
Stay warm.
Yep, we'll stay warm. You too.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. What's next, Melody?
And I do know a lot of people who do enjoy winters. They love the snow. They love the cold. But when someone that lives in Texas says they wish it'd get a little colder, that they enjoy winter, you get winter for 3 days. I'd like winter too if I only had it for 3 days.
Yeah, we get it for more than that, but it seems like we get about 7 months of summer down here. I like summer, but I don't necessarily like 7 months of summer.
Well,
I'd like a little more fall, a little more spring, a little more winter, and a little less summer. I'd like it a little more temperate, to tell you the truth.
Well, in the winter, you could move north. Move north instead of south like everybody else. Move north.
Yeah, I know. And in the winter, I could move south, I think is what you're saying. And in the summer, we could move north. If I were going to move south, I'd probably have to emigrate down into Mexico.
No. I'd
probably have to get some coyote
to sneak me
across the border into Mexico in the wintertime, and another coyote to sneak me back into the United States in the summertime. And
no, you enjoy winter. I meant move north during wintertime. But I think we're just about at time, so we might have to move to Tuesday.
Well, we have 30 seconds, Melody.
I just want to remind folks of our special today for $1,700. You receive a great little package, a 1 ounce, one-tenth of an ounce gold eagle, a $5 Indian gold piece, 20 silver eagles, 20 Morgan silver dollars, and $20 face value for $1,700. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.